Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us bless the Lord is the topic taken from Psalm 103, a psalm written by David. We do not know at which point of his life he wrote this wonderful psalm, but it is a testimony, a personal testimony of David's encounter with God. The word to bless occurs in the Old Testament 324 times. Out of these 324 times, more than 290 times, it is translated as the word bless, or blessed, or blessing. Three times, it is translated using the word to kneel. To bless someone is to kneel before someone in acknowledgement that He has dealt with us in a wonderful, wonderful way. It is to praise. It is a life that is filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. That is the idea of the word bless. And so to bless the Lord is the rallying call as we begin the new year 2018. Let us bless the Lord. Is this something that is the norm in our lives, where we bless the Lord not only on Sunday, but every moment of every day of our lives? If we think that blessing the Lord is to stand up, to sing hymns that are biblically sound and the tune has been carefully looked after and reverential, we think that blessing the Lord is merely paying lip service to God, then we are most mistaken. God does not appreciate the blessing that is found only on Sunday morning or afternoon or evening. It is much, much more than that, as you can see from these 22 verses of Psalm 103. Met a gentleman many years ago, whereby he dresses a very different way from Monday to Saturday. But on Sunday, if you look at him, you would never know that he dressed differently from Monday to Saturday. I met him during one of the weekdays because my wife and I were having lunch in one of the shopping centers. And he noticed us, and he was the one who started talking to me as I was queuing up to buy lunch. I look at him. He had on diamond earrings. He had on numerous bright, shiny, golden rings on his fingers and a couple of chains. And his shirt was very flowery. And then as we continued to converse, I managed to buy my lunch and I went back to my table. And he came over to my table where my wife was seated, and then he started to talk some more. And then I found out, when I asked him, why do you want to put on earrings? You are a guy. You're a Christian. Oh, don't worry, Reverend Craig, I do not dress like this on Sunday. On Sunday, all these things come off. When the people look at me on Sunday, they will see a very nice man. Why do you put on earrings? Well, it was a bet. My friend begged whether I would dare to pierce my ears. He promised me $5,000. You know, $5,000, you know, it's a lot of money if I were to pierce my ears. And so, that's why I'm wearing two diamond earrings for $5,000. Christ has a price tag. $5,000 was the price tag that was sufficient to compromise his position and his faith in Christ. Blessing the Lord is a way of life. It is not an exercise that is restricted to Sunday worship. Based upon this psalm, you realize that David shared with us three very wonderful and practical reasons why God's people must bless the Lord. Verse 1 described for us the way to bless. You notice how he described the way that a believer ought to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he is speaking to himself. All that is within me, bless His holy name. What is within the person that is invisible to the naked eyes? That's why we know that it is not limited to only Sunday worship. We are talking about the Lord who does not appear only on Sunday as if God goes to sleep from Monday to Saturday. As if God does not care nor does He know what I do at home or in the wee hours of the morning or what I do in school or at work. You want to bless Him, bless the Lord, please know who He is. And that's why David knew who the Lord was, and that's why he says, everything within me, including my motive, including my mind, that are all invisible to naked eyes, but not God's eyes. Your eyes, my eyes, yes. But not the eyes of the Lord, because I'm not here to bless you. If I'm here to bless you, you can't know my heart, you can't know my mind. I will just simply bless you. I don't need to bless you with all that is within me. I just simply bless you with my lips because that's easy. You and I know that we all like to be praised. We all have this ego in us. And so if I see you on Sunday, you look extremely sharp today, my friend. Oh, that may brighten your day. Oh, you look very pretty today, young lady. Your dressing is very decent and very good. Keep it up. But in my heart, you're terrible. You do not know. True. I don't need to do so within me. All that is within me. But not the Lord. Not the Lord. That's why David understood this very well. Let us bless the Lord with everything that is within us. That means our entire being. Nothing is to be omitted. Nothing can be characterized by any semblance of sin or transgression or iniquity. Because God cannot accept anyone unless He does so with clean hands and pure hearts. So what is your condition of your inward being right now? What do you desire for your inward being for the rest of the year and for the rest of your life? If you want your life to be a blessing to the Lord. Because David says it has to be from everything that is within us. The motive has to be the love of God. Because, Lord, You have done so much for me, and I love You with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my being. Is that how we love the Lord? That means no area of our lives must be dirtied by sin. This is a very good beginning. It's a new year. What we were like in 2017 will not return for us to relive that year. It's gone forever. And whatever regrets, it will remain as regrets, and we can only repent and ask God to forgive us and not repeat the same mistakes. Husbands and wives, how is your relationship? Because your relationship will impact your family, your home. Coming to church with a semblance of peace and tranquility is only foolishness, vanity. Because you are supposed to bless the Lord who knows, who sees. What is your life like at work? Any hanky-panky that your wife is not aware of when you go to work, husbands? Are you exactly where you're supposed to be when you go to work? We are blessing the Lord with our entire being. Verse 2 tells us the manner, the reason for blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then David started to list the benefits from verse 3 to verse 7. He gave us the benefits, the reason. Have you benefited this? Have you experienced this in your life? Whereby your blessing the Lord is sincere and genuine because you have experienced in your life His benefits. Many people do not like to praise Singapore. Especially those who have migrated out of Singapore living in other countries. They have more complaints than blessing. And so they will criticize. They criticize the government, they criticize the tax, they criticize practically everything. nothing to bless Singapore for, because as far as they are concerned, in Singapore they have experienced absolutely nothing good. And that's why they packed their bags and they uprooted their entire family and they went overseas, turning their backs on Singapore. They did not like the national service. They did not like the emphasis on the second language. They did not like this. They did not like that. The rules and laws are too draconian. Nothing good. Filled with complaining and murmuring. Not a word of blessing. Because they have never experienced any benefits. Is this also true of us? Our singing, is it more from the heart? Or just mechanical? It's a ritual. That's what I've been doing since day one as I set foot on this church, and we continue to just simply mouth the words without truly, purely experiencing what we have just sung. What we've just sung. None whatsoever. That's why the benefits to David are real, and so it must be to all of us who bless the Lord. The first benefit, forgiveness of our iniquities. Synonymous parallelism. Same thing. Heal all our diseases. The diseases are basically a reminder. Sickness is a reminder of death. We die because of sin. And so with all our transgressions forgiven, death is taken away from us. You know that in Christ. That's what Jesus said to those who are alive on earth. If you believeth in me, you will never die. Believest thou this? Was this not what Christ said to Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus? In particular, to Martha, who was there having a conversation with Christ, but it's recorded for all of us. Believest thou this? That you will never die if you believe in me. All your sins have been forgiven. Wash. Isn't that enough without all the other verses for us to bless the Lord, to experience the forgiveness of all the sins that have plagued us for all our years of existence? One of the things I'm sure you will never miss on this earth is to struggle against the temptation to fall into sin. Can't you wait for the day of glorification where this struggle will stop forever? Sometimes the longing to go home to be with the Lord, whereby our service on earth is done, maybe it is preempted by this strong desire, I don't want to struggle against the temptation to fall into sin, because very often we succumb. True. And that's why David says the benefits on the first on the list is to have all your sins forgiven, not just at the point of salvation, of course that is included, but continuously. Because you look at David's life, he knew the Lord when he was a very young shepherd. Right? He testified of that experience at the battle against Goliath, when he shared with King Saul, when King Saul offered all the armaments and told him about, you are just a boy. Goliath has been a warrior since he was a boy. And look at him, and who are you? And David shared with him, the Lord helped me against the lions and the bears when I was a shepherd looking after my father's sheep. He already knew the Lord. He already experienced the benefits of the Lord. And yet, look at his life. He continued to experience the forgiveness of the Lord in his life, because we know that David continued to commit other transgressions even after salvation with Bathsheba and then taking Bathsheba's husband's life, Uriah, and so on. His multiple wives and what he did by numbering the people just before the Lord took him home. Forgiveness is a continuous experience that alone in itself is more than enough to propel us onward to live a life of blessing day in and day out, so that everything within our being will want to praise Him and bless Him and to thank Him without anyone telling us. Isn't that true? Is that your experience? This was David's. Let us bless the Lord by thinking and remembering the forgiveness that we have received from God, which never stops. Every time you sin, you repent. Every time you lust, you repent. Forgiveness. Every time you spoke a word out of turn, you repent. Forgiveness. Every time you did a deed and you hurt someone, you repent. Forgiveness. Non-stop. And therefore, our blessing of the Lord must never stop too. Isn't that true? Is this your experience from the heart? And he did not stop there. He talks about redemption.
who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The redemption that we have received from God is characterized by loving kindness and tender mercies. God's goodness toward us by saving us from all kinds of dangers and pitfalls, and ultimate salvation and redemption, of course, is hell itself. David experienced multiple redemption from God because his life was that of a fugitive in the early years before he became king. And then even after he became king, he had his son Absalom trying to oust him and trying to kill him. And the Lord protected him and saved him. And of course, David knew about the forgiveness of sin and the deliverance from death and hell itself. His redemption was multifaceted, and so must our redemption be. You and I have experienced God's redemption, not just from hell and from death, which will be the ultimate, but also on a day-to-day basis, we face many enemies. All kinds of enemies. Have you not encountered enemies as you wanted to do the work of the Lord and they tried to stop you? And they slander you, they said all kinds of nasty things to attack you. And then they revile you and persecute you. Sure, they will, and the Lord delivered. The Lord delivered. When I first received the letter of the lawsuit, my face turned pale. I dare not even tell my wife, because it was a registered letter. I opened the door, the doorbell rang, and then this guy made me sign something and handed me an envelope and I opened it. I was sued by our own church member. I sat there and started to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom on what to do. If I fight, I know lawyers are very expensive. And so the first thing I have to bear in mind that if I want to fight and defend the truth, then I must be prepared, if it is the Lord's will, to sell my HDB flat because I have no money to pay the lawyer's fees. I know that. And even after I sell my HDB flat to downgrade to pay for the lawyer's fees, I'm not even sure whether that is enough because, as you know, HDB flat, most of the money that you sell will have to go back to your CPF. And so what you have will have to be the balance. Do I have enough balance? If I don't have enough balance, what am I going to do? I have to make sure that I cannot declare bankrupt, because in our constitution, if the pastor is bankrupt, he cannot be a pastor. Maybe that could be the agenda of the person who sued to oust my position as a pastor in the church. And so prayed, and then after I've decided, got to trust in the Lord to provide. Cannot give up the truth because I'm afraid. And so, let's fight. Now I'm going to pray and look for a lawyer. Dr. Toh also received a similar letter, and so both of us were taken to court together. That was the beginning. It lasted for I can't remember the exact entire period of time, but it was difficult. The hours that you have to spend in the lawyer's office and the amount of money you have to pay. I do not know when it started, but somewhere along the line, very early in the stage of the suit, when church members found out, I still do not know who the person was, but somebody donated a love gift or an offering, designated offering, toward the pastor's legal fees. And from that point onwards, the Lord moved the hearts of other people to start giving. The total amount that was given, slightly over $200,000. You know how much was our legal fees, Dr. Toh and mine combined? $200,000. The Lord provided, the Lord saved, delivered. Now the case is over. The benefit was to see the hand of God each step of the way, the provision of the Lord. You don't need to tell David to bless the Lord from out of all that is within him. You don't have to urge him. You don't have to coax him. You don't have to beg him. He will do it naturally. He has experienced the redemption of God multiple times. And we're not talking about losing, downgrading for an HDB flat. He was talking about his life.
They came after him with a mighty army. King Saul with his 3,000 elite soldiers, hounding him from place to place, from cave to cave, so much so that he had to go out of Israel to hide like a madman inside Philistine territory. You don't have to tell a man like him to bless the Lord with every ounce of his innermost being. He will do it from his heart and in all sincerity. And the Lord knows. Is that a description of you? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He gives you the strength. He gives you the strength to endure the trials, the persecution, not just physical, but also emotional and mental. To experience the sufficiency of the presence of God to give you the strength to go. So we're not talking about physical strength, the kind of strength that you go to the gym and then your muscles are bulked up. Not that kind. The kind of inward strength that you and I require from the Lord in order to stay steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That kind of strength. The Lord says, I will give. He will satisfy your mouth with good things so that you will have the strength like an eagle renewed. And be strong. Fly up high and strong. And mount up with wings as eagles. So that when you run, you will not be weary. When you walk, you will not faint. Have you experienced the sufficiency of His grace and the strength that you need? And no matter how tiring it is, the Lord will sustain you and help you and give you what you need. Just talk to someone who is a preacher in one of our BP churches. He has been suffering with an illness that affects his heart. He shared with me that sometimes when he's lying down, sleeping, his heart will beat more than 100 per minute. This is like a person doing a jog. And he was not like that. He used to be very fit and healthy. But he is now going through a difficult time. And then there was one time when he shared that he was about to preach. And his heart had been beating more than 100. He was breathless, he was exhausted, he was tired, he was weak. And he felt that way all the way right up to the moment when he was about to come up and speak. And then he shared that as he walked up and as he was about to speak, somehow his heartbeat just simply went down to 70 and remained like that throughout the sermon. And after he finished, he went back down and the condition returned. How is that possible? How is that ever possible? Most of the day, his heartbeat was 100 plus. Breathless. Not sure if he was well enough, strong enough to minister God's word. But as he was about to minister, everything changed. God just simply filled him with the Spirit, gave him the strength, and he was able to minister. That kind of provision, strength from the Lord. Have you not experienced that when you earnestly contend for the faith, as you go out there and witness the holy witness for Christ, and then you face problem after problem, difficult people after difficult people, you might even be threatened with the loss of your job, and somehow you witness how the Lord delivered. And somehow you continue to have peace, no matter how the storms around you continue to beat you around, and yet the peace in your soul remains constant. That kind of strength. You don't need to tell people who have experienced that kind of strength from the Lord to bless the Lord from all that is within him. It's natural, isn't it true? And that's what David wants to share with us, and that's what David wants us to experience too. Now, these are all under the same word benefits. Forgiveness. Redemption. Strength from the Lord to succeed in witness for him, in serving him day after day. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Protection. You see this? He protects. Have you ever been called all kinds of names? You have ever been slandered, numerous, no matter how you try to defend, you don't even know where the source comes from and the slandering continues. You know it is not true and yet you're so frightened and afraid because you're so nervous that the people around you might believe. And you're more concerned for their faith than that of your own. Because you know that you did not say those words. You know you are not a heretic.
But you're so fearful that the people under your care, your own children who look up to you, the children who trust in the Lord, they might believe that mommy and daddy are indeed a heretic. Because of the rumor that is spreading, and you and I know with all the internet that we have, it spread like wildfire, and sometimes it is uncontrollable. And these people who attack us, they know that we will never take them to court because of all these things. From a personal perspective, they know we will never do that. And yet you and I cannot say the same thing about them, because they will take you to court. And so you just have to trust in the Lord and be still, and to know that God is in control, and let the Lord vindicate in His time. And so you just continue to do your work and trust in the Lord that our own children, our own people will not fall prey to these evil attacks. You have to taste and see the Lord's protection, like how David was able to experience. There was one time when David was nearly caught by King Saul and his armies. He was surrounded and they were about to capture him. And then news came to King Saul, the Philistines are attacking, you have to go back and defend. And he was about to capture David, he had to stop and he had to go back and defend. You think all these are by chance, by accident? The timing was perfect. God protected David in so many ways. There is nothing that can bind the hand of God when God wants to keep His servants safe on this earth. If God doesn't want to, we know the reason why. Just like the three friends of Daniel who said in no uncertain terms to Nebuchadnezzar, when they first did not want to bow down to his statue, the enemies of the three friends of Daniel were so incensed and so angry, they reported them to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second chance. Alright, never mind, now you bow, okay? Now you bow, you'll be fine. What did the three friends say to Nebuchadnezzar? We know that God can deliver us from the fiery furnace, but if He doesn't want to, it's alright. We will never bow down to the statue. There were many who were burnt. There were many who were eaten by the lion when they were thrown into the lion's den. Many, many saints of old have died for the faith. Did God not protect them? God protected them by taking them out of this world. God will never stop protecting us. Please do not limit your understanding of protection to just physical. God protected William Tyndale by allowing him to be burned at the stake before that they strangled him. God protected him by taking him home to glory. His work for the Lord was done when God wanted him to complete the translation of the New Testament and some books of the Old Testament. He was betrayed. He was arrested. He was charged. He was convicted. He was burned. They strangled him and then they burned him. Did God not protect him? God did. In His own way. By taking him out of this world, the world does not deserve to have William Tyndale anymore on earth. And God took him home. His work was done for our blessing, for our benefit, because His work of translation benefited the King James translators a whole lot, because the bulk of His work is found in our King James Bible. Your life and my life will always be protected by God. Nothing can happen to you without your Heavenly Father's knowledge. Isn't that another reason why you and I should bless the Lord with all that is within our soul? With all that is within us, to taste His forgiveness, to be redeemed by Him, not only while we are on earth, but also ultimately when we leave this world, we know we have been delivered from the bondage of sin and the penalty which is death and hell. And then to experience the strength that we need to live for Him day by day, not by our own, but by His strength, His provision, and then His protection, keeping us safe. Time and time again in our going out and our coming in, not for us only, but also for the people that we commit to the Lord in prayer, for our children, for our loved ones when they travel, when they go. But above all else, He will always protect us so that all things will work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This must give us the peace in our heart so that we have nothing to be afraid of. So that whatever burden that you may have right now that may hinder you from blessing the Lord from all that is within your soul, you have to let it go. You have to trust in the Lord that you are indeed a child of God and you have nothing to be afraid of that the world may throw at you. And that alone should compel us to bless the Lord with our entire being. Like what David tells us, And finally, the last benefit you find in verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel, revelation, the word of God, so that you do not have to walk in darkness, you do not have to make decisions in life as you serve the Lord with both your eyes closed, unless you choose to do so when you don't want to read God's word. God has really revealed how you can walk in a way that is always pleasing to him, the Bible. Challenge the Pandan congregation members to read God's word every day. Will you also be challenged to read God's word every day, dear friend? If you have not already started to do so, this is a brand new year. Would you promise the Lord to read through the whole Bible? You are 7 days behind if you have not started. It is not too late to catch up. There are a lot of Bible reading programs throughout the whole year for you to take advantage of. And not only that, on top of that, would you not also challenge yourself to read one chapter of the book of Proverbs all the days of your life? Because out of all the poetic books, the book of Psalms, it is a book of comfort when you are in sorrow, when you are hurt, when you are mentally challenged and stressed. The book of Psalms are very comforting. The book of Job teaches us how to counsel, or rather how not to counsel someone who is in need of help. The book of Ecclesiastes is a testimony of how not to live your life, because it is a testimony of Solomon, whose life that could have been lived to the praise and glory of God, but it became a life of vanity because he turned his back on God, even though he knew Christ at his young age as he started as king. But he allowed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to ruin him. He had the knowledge of the word of God, but he did not obey the word of God, and he thought that he was well within his soul, but it was not. And he found out at the end of his life, and he penned Ecclesiastes to warn us. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's a book that teaches us, learn from the mistakes of King Solomon. It is less painful. Song of Solomon teaches us how to relate as husband and wife. But the book of Proverbs, it's a book of prevention rather than cure. And that's why every Christian father and mother, you must read the book of Proverbs if you want to bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Today is day number 7. Read Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7 is an entire chapter dedicated to the simple one and the strange woman. The simple one is the person who does not know God's word, and he allowed the strange woman to entice him into committing the sin of fornication and adultery. And that chapter conclusion warns us that if you fall into it, you will die. At the end of it, it is hell. You will die. You read this, learn this, meditate upon it, and share with your children. Your daughter, don't be a strange woman. Your son, don't be a simple person. Because that woman in that chapter presented herself as someone who is religious, someone who is holy. I just came back from offering to the Lord. The husband is away on business. The bed is already made ready for a person just like you. I've been looking for someone just like you. Flatter him. You won't get caught. My husband is away on business. He will not return until that set date. And you are fine. You succumb, you die. Read one chapter a day to protect yourself, father and mother, and also teach your children. Will you do that for the year 2018 and for the rest of your life? You mean read one chapter of Proverbs every month until I die? Yes. Because we need it. Our brain is forgetful. We need this kind of constant reminder. And when you do that, the Spirit of God in you will use the Word of God to sanctify all the filth out of your brain, so that your mind of Christ will truly be the mind of Christ. You already possess the mind of Christ the moment you are born again, even though the bulk of the content inside your brain that is now called the mind of Christ is still very much of the world. But you have to sanctify them, to clean them up through the study of God's word. Why do you think Jesus said in his high priestly prayer to the Heavenly Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you will keep them, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means to make clean, assumption dirty. Dirty by what? By the ideas and the notions of the world. Dirty by the world to teach me how to relate to my wife. That has to be pushed out and replaced by God's truth on how to relate to my wife. How to bring up my children. Push it out, the
carnal way, the worldly way, and replace it with God's word. We had a family who liked our church for a season of time. Until that family heard us talk about how Christian parents must use the rod of correction. The parents could not accept that. They left the church. They were not members. They were visitors, and they will be there for some time. They did not like it. They did not want it. They must have read somewhere in some books outside there from the wisdom of man that you want to bring a children up, you cannot use the rod of correction. It will scar them for life. The word of God says that you love them, you use the rod of correction to drive out the stubbornness and the sin in them. They will not die. You do not use, they will die because they are born, not neutral, they are born in sin. They are born with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in them. And if you as parents do not use the rod of correction to teach them when they are young what is right and what is wrong, you do wrong, warning. You still want to do wrong, there will be pain. They need you to guide them in the path of right and wrong assumption. Parents, you better know God's word. Otherwise, your wrong will become right and your right will become wrong. And what do you think will end up, what kind of children you're going to end up with? Carnal, worldly children. And all you can do at the end of that is to put them on the prayer list and say backsliding. You sure they are backsliding? They are truly born again? You sure? You can't even be sure. Maybe you should put them under the category salvation, not backsliding. Backsliding means you assume they are saved. Revelation, God's word, so that you and I don't need to walk in darkness. How many benefits? Five benefits. Five benefits. Right? Forgiveness, verse 3. Redemption, verse 4. Strength in verse 5. Protection in verse 6. Revelation in verse 7. 2. Bless the Lord with all that is within me. Now, have you experienced these benefits? All of them. Don't pick, well, I like only 4 out of 5. I don't like the revelation. You cannot don't like the revelation part. Revelation is God speaking to you. What happens to a person who does not like to obey God's word? Who does not like to listen to God's word? Do you know what happened to such a person who doesn't like to listen to God's word? God says to you in the book of Proverbs, you don't like to listen to God's word, I also don't like to listen to your prayers. Do you realize that? And not only God does not like to listen to your prayers, God says your prayer to me will be an abomination. Prayer is you talking to God. Reading God's word is God talking to you. If you do not want to listen to God's word, God talking to you, why must God listen to you? Seriously, why must God listen to that? God says, you don't want to obey my word, you don't want to listen to my word. Your prayer is an abomination. It's found in the book of Proverbs. Preacher, are you sure? Yes, I'm 100% sure. You don't believe? Find it out yourself. I'm not going to tell you. Find out yourself where the verse is found. All you need is to find, and you know it. The word of God is given so that you and I can walk in the light, so that you and I can have the assurance right now that at the end of your life, you will definitely, guaranteed by God, God will say to you, you pass with distinction. Come home, my faithful servant. I am well pleased with your life. God wants to give us that assurance. That's why He gave us the perfect word of life, the revelation, to help us. If you have this sincerity to bless the Lord, to obey God's word, and God did not give you His word, all your sincerity is watered down the drain, wasted, right? Sincerity alone, you and I know, is no substitute for truth. That's why revelation is so wonderful and so important, and that's how David understood. He made known his ways unto Moses. He is talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And David, of course, knew the Old Testament scriptures. And he described for him the acts unto the children of Israel, how God has been with the people of Israel, and how God has been with David. God has always been with his people. The word of God has been the encouragement and the revelation to tell us who God is, what He has done in the past, what God continues to do in the present, and what God will continue to do in the future. All these are benefits. All spiritual.
that will propel us to want to bless the Lord with all that is within me. I hope this is a description of you. David also hoped that it is a description of you. So does our Heavenly Father, that this is a description of you. If it is not, do something about it. But please understand that we do not deserve such benefits. And that's why verse 8 to verse 18 talks about the mercies of God. We don't deserve it. We know we deserve hell. We know we deserve punishment. We know we deserve God's judgment. We know we deserve God's wrath. But if you ever think that you deserve all these benefits, then you have to repent. It is the Lord's mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. It is the Lord's mercy. That's why we have to bless the Lord and thank Him. Because the person who understands his life is based upon God's mercy will never stop praising the Lord, serving the Lord, thanking the Lord. He'll never stop because he knows he deserves worse. The people who think that they are some big shot, that they are doing God a big favor by coming to church. They are doing God a big favor by giving their big money. Those who think that they are doing God a big favor by giving up a big job that is worth about $10,000, $20,000 a month to go full time. These people have no idea about God's mercy. They think that God cannot do without them and not the other way around. We cannot do without God. That's why we need His mercies. Sometimes, when you listen to the testimonies of full-time students, especially those who are Singaporeans, and they will try to slip in the notion that, you know, when I was working, I make so much money. You see, now I'm giving up and serve the Lord. These people talk with a tone of humility, but behind it, it is deception. They want to boast. They want you and I to know how much they make and how great a sacrifice they have made. You can never put a price tag on the blood of Christ. You think that giving up $1 million a minute is a big sacrifice. You can keep your $1 million a minute job. The blood of Christ is priceless. There is nothing you can earn on this earth that can even come close to the tiny little drop of the blood of Christ. Don't you dare say that you have sacrificed just to go full time to serve the Lord, and the Lord should pat you on the back just because of that. It is the Lord's mercy that you and I are not consumed. And if you understand this for the rest of your life, you don't need to be told to bless the Lord with all that is within you. You will just do it because you will never, never, never be arrogant and proud. You will always be humble and be grateful and be thankful to the Lord. And no matter what people may praise you, no matter how high people may elevate you, you know exactly where you are. You know exactly where you are. And you know exactly where you are? Where are you? Seriously, where are you? All right, somebody praise you. Wow, this person can teach so well. This person can preach so well. This person is a wonderful Sunday school teacher. This person can write so well. This person can this. This person can that. Wow, you go higher and higher and your head is bigger and bigger, right? True? You can't stop them. You can't stop the mouth of people. You just like you can't stop the women who started to sing. Oh, King Saul had killed his 1,000, but David had killed his 10,000. How can David stop these women started to sing and sing and sing, and it all ruined his life, right? You can stop people, but you can stop yourself from believing it. The moment you start believing it, yeah, yeah, I'm so good. Yeah, 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 I'm so great. Yeah, 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 I can write so. The moment you start, yeah, finish. So know who you are and where you are. So who are you and where are you? Do you know? You know that? What's your answer? Alright, everyone take a piece of paper, write it down, and then pass up to the front. So who are you? Look under your shoes. You and I are but dust and ashes. Understand this? Dust and ashes means what? You are lower than underneath your sandals. Wow! I got my degree, you know, Reverend Quack. I'm a PhD, you know. You know, I'm a CEO in this company. You know how much I'm worth or not? Yeah, I know how much you're worth. But before God, yeah, before me, you're a CEO, I kowtow to you.
Before me, all right, I call you doctor. But before God, you what? You're CEO to God, is it? God works in your company, is it? Does God work in your company? So even God to call you CEO, what? Chief executor, chief executive officer, what? You want God to call you, God works in your company, is it? You are in God's earth. Where did this phrase dust and ashes come from? Abraham's prayer. Genesis 18. When he prayed to the Lord to be merciful, not to destroy Sodom, if there were 50, 45, 40, 30, 20. Lord, let me just ask one more time. I'm but dust and ashes. 10. Dust and ashes. You approach God, we are but dust and ashes. And that comes from our father of faith. If Abraham considered himself dust and ashes, you think you are what? The sandal? And Abraham is the dust underneath? We are the same, dust and ashes. That's who we are. That's what it means by the mercies of God. Everything that you and I receive from the Lord that you think is good and beneficial to you, you don't deserve it. And therefore, you be grateful and you be thankful all the days of your life. And therefore, blessing the Lord with our knees prostrated onto the ground, flat onto the ground. We do it willingly. We do it happily. We do it cheerfully. Because it is the Lord's mercies. All the time. All the time. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 15, 14, 15, 16. All the way right up to verse 18. All the mercies of the Lord. Really for yourself. Right? He did not chide us. He did not keep his anger against us forever. He did not deal with us according to our sins. He did not reward us according to our iniquities. His mercies toward us continues on. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions. Like a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy. And then final reason. That's the second, right? The first, the benefits. The second, the mercy of the Lord. Thirdly, very quickly. Verse 19 and verse 22. Another reason to bless the Lord. You will one day be found in heaven. Participation in the Lord's kingdom. You see that? Who are the people who will be found in God's kingdom? The Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. Right? So who will be there to bless the Lord when they arrive in heaven? The angels. You see that? Bless the Lord, ye angels. Now these are the good angels, not the bad ones. The bad ones are already taken out. That excel in strength, that do his commandments, whatever God asked them to do, not the rebellious fallen angels. They did not listen. They rather listened to the voice of Lucifer, Satan, and they fell with him. But these are the good angels that will do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of God's word. So they remain as good angels, continue to do the Lord's bidding. When the Lord sent them to go to this person, go to John, gave him the revelation, as recorded for us in the book of Revelation, and the angel went. Go to Daniel while he is an exile in Babylon. Give him the revelation. And so the angel came and gave him the revelation. They will do exactly as the Heavenly Father bids them. The good angels, they will be in heaven. Verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. The host here means a mass of people. Believers. Ye ministers, servants of his, that do his pleasure. God's word. Just like the good angels. You experience his benefits. You obey his word. And God says, the final third reason, having experienced my benefits on earth, my mercies, you are heading toward heaven. And that destiny, that destination, will never change. As long as you are truly born again in Christ, that means there is absolutely nothing on this earth. Neither death, nor life, nor sickness, nor principalities. Absolutely nothing can cause your final destination to change course. It will never, never be changed because it is sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another reason to bow down and kneel down and prostrate and bless the Lord. You are going home to be with the Lord after your time of service on earth is done. And that's why the apostles are able to say, like the Apostle Paul, whatever persecution that you endure is nothing compared to the glory that awaits him. And he really endured a lot with the shipwreck, with the scourging, with the stoning, with the imprisonment, with all those enemies assaulting him and attacking him, calling him not a true apostle, trying to undermine his ministry to no end. And he said, all these are nothing compared to the glory that awaits me, he says. Isn't that another wonderful reason to kneel down and bless the Lord with all that is within me? Do you know that in Christ Jesus? So you have to make sure of your salvation, dear friend. Do you truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior? And I do not know what challenges you are facing in this life right now. But I don't need to know. You should not need me to know to be comforted. All you need to know is that your Heavenly Father knows. And He has assured you, no matter what journey you are going through, it will not change your destination. It could be the journey of persecution. It could be the journey of reviling. It could be the journey of false accusation. Whatever the journey is, it could be by sickness. Whatever it is, rest assured that the moment you stop breathing on earth, you will be absent from the body present with me. And what else? The third category, verse 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who else? If angels, in verse 20. You have believers in verse 21. All his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All his works. That's amazing, isn't it? Why do you think the Bible says when the saints are taken home to glory, what will follow him? All that he has done for Christ will follow him. That means what you do on earth for Christ will not be forgotten. Will not be forgotten by God himself. People may not notice you. It's all right. People may not recognize you. It's fine. People don't care for what you do. It's also okay. As long as the Lord knows and you do it constrained by the love of Christ, with the mind of Christ, in all humility, you keep on serving, you keep on plodding, you keep on praying, keep on studying, keep on teaching, keep on. Whatever the Lord has given to you as your niche on earth to serve Him with the spiritual gift that He has blessed you with, God says, the angels will be in heaven, the believers will be in heaven, and all the works of God that He has done through you will follow you and will also be in heaven. It will be remembered by the Lord Himself, so that your life of service for Christ will not end in futility. What more do you want? To be a faithful, wonderful, obedient servant of the Most High. And therefore, blessing the Lord with all that is within me, prostrated flat onto the ground as dust and ashes, is the only right thing to do for all of us. In conclusion, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem, for the first time, after he made Jerusalem the political and economic capital city of the new Israel after King Saul's death, he now had a united Israel, 7.5 years as the king of Judah only because of the civil war, and now finally the king of all Israel. It had to be a new capital city, and by God's appointment it was Jerusalem. But David was a godly man, and he knew that Jerusalem cannot be just a political and economic capital. It had to be spiritual. And in order for it to be spiritual, the Ark of the Covenant had to be in Jerusalem. And that's what he did. He built a temporary tabernacle to house it, to keep it from the eyes of all the Israelites, so that only the high priest could go in. You remember how he brought it in? The first time it was a failure because he did not do it correctly. So God is no respecter of person. Just because you are David, you have to do it according to my will and my word. And he learned. And the second time, he did it correctly. Got a priest to carry it. And then what did he do? He disrobed his royal garment. He dressed like an ordinary Israelite. All Israel were happy except his wife.
his wife look from the top of David's palace. How could you, my king, when the king came back home, how could you embarrass me like this? You are a king. Why did you undress yourself and dress like an ordinary Israelite? David said, yes, before the people I'm king, but before God, I'm no king. I'm prepared to even humble myself even far more before the Lord himself. And that's what it means to bless the Lord. We are the recipient of God's mercies and his benefits. We are nothing. We are nobodies. We are sinners, totally depraved, if not for God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. And now that we have tasted his goodness, how dare we say that we are what we are because of ourselves. We are all what we are by the grace and mercies of God Almighty. So don't just bless the Lord on the Lord's Day. Let your entire life bring glory and honor to his holy name by making sure that they are all lived according to Holy Scriptures. At home, at work, in school, in church, wherever you are, you are always a child of God. And therefore, you can bless him with your life of obedience, of service, of faithfulness. I hope this is your desire as you begin this new year. Let it not only be a new year, but a new life in Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to us, O Lord, out of thy holy word. We thank thee with everything that is within our soul, our heart, our mind, our entire being, acknowledging that it is because of your grace and your mercies in our lives that we are not consumed. How easy it is for us to forget the benefits that you have bestowed upon us, the forgiveness of sin, the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus, the protection, the strength, and the word of everlasting life that you have given to us so that we do not need to walk in darkness, so that we can know how to please thee and live a life of holiness and godliness and righteousness before thee and before all men. And it is all because of thy grace and thy mercies. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with a deeper sense of sincerity and gratitude, that we may never forget the great work of salvation that you have wrought in our hearts and in our lives, that we may continue to bless thy wonderful and perfect and holy name because of all that you have done for us and in us. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times when we have brought shame to our Savior. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times when we have not prayed without ceasing and we have not studied thy holy word the way we ought to. Let this new year, O Lord, truly be a new year for all of us as thy blood-bought children. That our lives from henceforth and our witness and testimony for Christ will never be the same again, but it will truly be a life of great blessing, so that by our good works, people around us will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. Sanctify thy people, O Lord, by thy truth, for thy word is truth. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.